At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
During the Fainting Goats myth episode, did Carrie actually flash Tori? Was she wearing a bathing suit or something else under the jacket?
I knew that's where this was going.
Welcome, Myth Fits.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Myth Fits. I'm Carrie Byron.
And I am Tori Belleci, and we are back with another episode of Myth Fits.
And this is, my gosh, dude, we got so many questions on Instagram when we did our first AMA episode that we've decided we're going to make a round two. So this is AMA The Redux. And in case you guys don't know what AMA is, that stands for Ask Me Anything. We did these on Reddit all the time back in the Mythbusters days, so we're just like going to continue the tradition.
Yes, and we never change our clothes. That's the cool thing. Carrie, how's that shirt smelling? Pretty ripe. Had it on for like this rose- long.
I don't sweat. I smell like roses. Roses and cedar. That's my smell.
All right, what's the first question? What do we got?
Okay, this one's from JP. Did Tori ever get pranked on Mythbusters? Who is the best prank victim? I don't like this question.
I'm trying to think if I ever got pranked. I mean, I'm sure I
you did, but they were always failed pranks because like you were so much better at it. And the reason I don't like this question is because I was always the best victim. Why?
You were so
gullible.
Yeah.
I'm trusting, and I have very big reactions. Mm-hmm. And you are just diabolical. Diabolical. I mean,
well, not diabolical. It was more out of
me.
good lighthearted fun.
Do you remember? Okay, so there was a big box. Something got delivered in a big box. And I hid in this stupid box for a really long time, waiting for one of you to come into the office. And it was like kind of sweaty in there. And it's somebody filmed it because I have this. Remind me later to pull this up. But like I waited in this box and finally Grant walks past and I jump out of the box and I'm like, ah! And then Grant just is like rolls his eyes and started laughing.
What are you doing in there? How long have you been in there? Go to work.
Good. But you, on the other hand, were so good at planning. And you played the long game. It wasn't just like the jump scare. It was the slow character development of a prank. I remember this because it was that one episode where we had to collect spit. And we had to collect it for a really long time because we were trying to reanimate a cow tongue with spit because it was sticking your tongue to a frozen pole.
Right. So that was the myth. It was from the movie A Christmas Story. And the kid sticks his tongue on a frozen flagpole and it sticks. And so we're like,
and we
okay,
didn't want to do it ourselves just in case.
Let's test that. And yeah, before we put a human up to the challenge, let's make a analog faked, you know, like let's take a tongue, get it warm.
Oh, so gross. It was a cow tongue. Grant had made it so that like it would stay at temperature because he had a tube going through it that kept it warm, but we needed actual spit and we need to be like real. So everybody would spit into this tube all week long.
Yeah. Ooh. So we had these giant beakers and there was two rules. You couldn't spit after lunch because we didn't want to get food particles into the saliva. and no hawking loogies. So there, it was just
what like, kind of monster would hawk a loogie?
We had some interesting characters on the show, and so all week we're spitting into it, and it's just the smell is
it's rancid.
Bad on its own. Like it's like you walk by and it was just like oh.
You know what it smelled like? Is I don't know if you ever had a retainer, but like it smelled like when your retainer hasn't been washed, like old retainer. Like it was just this like really gross, stanky, bad breath smell, but like culminated into like this gross tube of like getting more yellow saliva, which is like that's one of my trigger things. Like I'm like, oh, like ugh, it makes me nauseous to think about. I was really like you guys would constantly get me dry heaving. Anytime that tube would move or we'd smell it, and especially when I had to take it and get it up to temperature and had to microwave it, and it just filled the whole office.
So the plan was we have this cow tongue that we have made it body temperature, and the plan is get the saliva, get it up to body temperature, 98 degrees, and then paint the tongue with the saliva and then stick the tongue against a frozen pole to see if it stick.
All right. So I got the tube up to temperature. I bring it into the shop and I put it down and I keep looking away because like I feel like I'm going to get sick. And this is the point where Tori goes to supervillain.
But do you remember how bad, like we took, as soon as you took it out of the microwave, the steam filled up the office and everybody started gagging and leaving the office. And then you were like gagging and you brought it into the shop. And then we all started gagging because it smelled so foul.
Yes. And this is when supervillain Tori put his plan into action. Why don't you explain your plan? Because it was both genius, but also diabolical.
So while she was in there microwaving the saliva, I had gotten an identical beaker that I filled with water and put a little coffee in there. So it looked a little murky. And I had it hiding underneath the work table. She brought the steaming beaker out, put it on the table, and she was like looking to the camera, like doing an interview, talking to camera. So when she looked away, I pulled the real beaker, put it under the table, and put the fake beaker on top. And so after she's done talking, she turns around, and I go, "Ooh, I'm gonna drink it." And you're like, "I dare you to drink it." And so I took a big swig and everybody else was in on it because they saw me swap the beakers, but Carrie threw up in the garbage can. It grossed her out so bad that she actually went to the garbage can and vomited a little bit.
Poor gullible Carrie.
I'm proud of that moment.
Like that was such a violent reaction. I actually threw up. You made me throw up and you didn't make me throw up like, you know, it wasn't like it was a cheap lunch. I went out for a very expensive burrito that day. That was one of those $20 mission burritos. I lost my lunch. I feel like I was always the best victim because I just trust you, Tori. You take advantage of that trust. You got even for what you perceived as the red wagon.
This was my getting my revenge.
Let's just say we're even.
That was a good one. I'm proud of myself for that one though.
I'm actually like, proud
oh my
of you
God.
Too.
That was she just threw up. I just made her throw up. That's unbelievable.
I freaking love pranks. I love pranks so much. I love being on both sides of them. Mostly the side where I'm helping out with the pranking, but like it's prank is just it's funny as long as it's in you know good spirit. It's fun.
All right, next question. This one comes from Roy. During the fainting goats myth episode, did Carrie actually flash Tori, or was she wearing a bathing suit or something else under the jacket?
I knew that's where this was going. Because the fainting goats episode there was this viral video of these goats that naturally, if you scare them, they just like fall over dead. Like not actually dead. They just fall. They look like they just go frozen and then they fall over. And it's so funny. Like it takes like a loud noise or like just anything that shocks them. They just like immediately like stiffen up and fall over. That was so fun. They're cute. They're tiny. We went to the goat farm to test this.
But it's completely not natural. It's bred into these goats. It's this genetic flaw that happens. And so the farmers would just keep breeding them. And the whole point of these goats is they're to take one for the team, which isn't even their team, the sheep. So like if there's a predator that comes into the flock of sheep, the goat is in there, the sheep take off running, but then the goat freezes up and falls over, and then the predator goes after the goat. So it's like a total like take one for the team, but it's not your team, but you're taking one and you're going to die.
Okay. So we were having such a fun time just like messing around because it is a little bit of a one trick pony. Like you scare them, they fall over. We were just like goofing around and I don't remember who came up with the idea, like to the joke that I was going to flash the goats, but
no. So what it was is you flash the goats, but then I freeze up and fall over. Like that was the gag. But you were not naked. I can verify that you were not naked.
I rolled my pants up above above the coat. Yeah, no, that would have been insane. Yeah, for the record, I've never made Tori faint with my naked body. passed out from seeing me naked.
From your naked body? No, yeah, that's never happened.
Myth busted.
Your turn.
All right, it's my turn. Okay, hold on. All right, so this one is from Dave. With Mythbusters now on YouTube, do you get anything from that? I'd love to make sure I'm supporting you the right way. Well, Dave,
Dave, thanks, if you are
listening to MythFits right now, you are supporting us in the right way.
Thank you. And the answer to that question is no, we don't get anything. Except, back in the old days. We get people coming up to us with little kids going, I love your show. And they weren't born while we were making the show.
So back in the old days, reality television was new, and you just signed a contract that said, like, you know, like you have the rights to everything, and it was paid like a salary. We didn't even get overtime back then, so no, we never got a residual. I think the show's been sold over and over and over and over.
I know.
It opened a lot of doors, though. Like, I don't regret a thing.
And now we got a podcast because of that. So there, that's our residual. And
yeah, I mean, I do know that there is a former Discovery show host that is suing Discovery currently.
Oh, yeah.
For I did back see residuals.
That. Yeah. Good luck.
I'm like,
to
go, buddy. Good luck with that.
Yeah. All right. Next question. This one comes from Sean. Thank you, Sean. Your podcast is great. Who would be your dream guest? Well, thank you.
Oh, that's
who would be your dream guest, Carrie?
Well, for me, I always, it's not going to be a celebrity. I love sort of like the odd and interesting people that we get to meet along the way. So lately we were talking about like the torpedo bat, which is a weird innovation. I would love to talk to the innovator that changed baseball by creating a new bat. Or maybe we could talk to like one of the old experts that was on Mythbusters that has like a really super niche expertise, because I always want to learn something new from somebody doing something totally weird. I mean, did you know there's like a scientist that's a poop inspector and their entire job is to just go collect poop from the sewers to figure out like how the society is being affected? I mean, there's just so many weird and wild, interesting careers. So it's definitely going to be somebody who does something that I've never heard of.
That's funny. Oh my God. There's so many people that I would love to just sit and talk with. Johnny Knoxville would be fun. Because of Jackass, I wanted to be a Jackass so bad. And when that show came out, it was like, oh my God, this is all the dumb stuff I was doing growing up. And, you know, we were filming it, but nobody ever saw it. It was just for us to entertain ourselves. So when that show came out, I was like, oh man, this is like the greatest show. I love it so much. And so then when Mythbusters started, I think that's why I would always take the stunt role, because I wanted to be a Jackass so bad that I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Whatever. I'll get hurt. Sure. Let's like sign me up. And so I think Johnny Knoxville would be a fun guest to have on.
If I was going to go the celebrity route, I know I said that wouldn't be my dream guest, but I was actually just, my brain just went to every now and then we'd have a celebrity visit set. And the one that had the best stories that totally freaked me out is, do you remember when Tom Hanks just like showed up?
Yes.
He just showed up and he was so nice and so funny and had the weirdest, most awesome behind the scenes story. Yeah. I would love to bring him on because
he
and his
amazing.
Kid were like a big Mythbusters fan. So yeah. when he showed up at set, it was so weird. I got a tap on the shoulder and I turned around and he's like, oh my God, Carrie, I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw
like,
you go
what?
Through the thing with your knee and the baby and oh my, can I see pictures of the kid? And I was just like, Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I know. It was so surreal. And he's like, oh my God, I feel like I know you guys. And it's like, time out. I've been watching you since like Bosom Buddies. I think we got you beat on this one.
Like the nicest celebrity ever. He was so nice.
Yeah, I think I almost, like that was when we were dropping pigs out of a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah. We let his kid do the 3-2-1 as we dropped
yeah.
a pig in a body bag onto the water to see if it was the same as concrete if we got it up to terminal velocity. It was that was pretty disgusting.
Been,
I don't know if
that
today
awful.
We could do this show. Like it was pretty wildly gnarly.
Could you imagine if I killed Tom Hanks with a pig from a helicopter?
I don't think America would.
That would have ruined. That would have ruined it for a lot of people. You're that guy. All right. This one comes from Blake. This one's for you, Carrie.
Okay.
Do you miss going to LDRS?
Okay. For those of you who don't know, because I don't know if this show was widely seen. It was. I think I only did 2 or 3 of these on the Science Channel. LDRS stands for Large and Dangerous Rocket Ships. And it was like, you know, guerrilla engineers that would go out and make these, you know, rocket contests that, you know, was model rocketry, but taken to the extreme. Like the FAA had to close airspace when they would do the big rockets and people would launch all kinds of
weird
things.
Wasn't it right next to a naval base?
No, they it was all over the place. It moved around to different places and they were happening all over the country. And it was a really wild experience because it was so, I mean, first of all, it was adorable because the kids would be involved and it was like their entry into rockets and they'd get so excited about it. And it felt like that like parent kid thing to do. I'm sure you'll do it with your daughter someday. I tried to do it with mine as well, but what made them large and dangerous is sometimes they made them large and dangerous. And some of these were hilarious. Like,
I remember one, they launched like a mannequin.
Oh, so many.
I was like,
one
that is so
where
crazy
a
looking.
Coffin went into the air and then at apogee, it opened and a vampire fell out. The one that cracked me up the most though, I told this story on Conan O'Brien. That is one guest I would love to have is actually Conan.
Oh my God. He is hilarious. Have you watched his podcast? Dude, his podcast is so funny.
He's so funny. So he was interviewing me and he had like pulled up a bunch of pictures from the contest. And there were two in particular we talked about. One, there was a bride that shot up into air and at apogee, a baby came out from underneath her and parachuted.
That's so dark. That's so twisted.
So funny. But the other one was a guy just made a rocket of a boob.
Hmm.
It was just a boob.
I like that. That's a good idea. That guy's a genius. That's not bad.
I loved the humor and the levity. And like, this was all part of like the science sports things. Like when you did flying anvils and like we each had the thing that we were following. Yeah. Grant had Robot Wars. So... Large and
so
dangerous.
Did you miss, so
rocket
you miss
ships.
It?
You know, I miss a lot of aspects about it. I mean, they were really long, hard days because it was usually someplace that was super duper hot and they were kind of dangerous. Like rockets fell out of the sky sometimes. And I remember the first one I went to, the head of Science Channel called and was like, "You guys need to watch her. I heard a rocket almost fell on her." And they got me into a golf cart instead of walking around. Like there was so many weird things that happened. Like a rocket fell over and went sideways and the people who were watching it got them like a burn across their stomachs because it went
awesome.
And they had to be like helivacked out. And
dang.
I was just like, where am I?
Getting yourself
happening?
Killed for some ridiculous hobby. I love it.
I mean, nobody.
That's awesome.
like everybody is fine. Like everybody ended up fine, but like it was just always wild to do these kind of like out in the middle of nowhere wild contests. It was fun.
That's the thing that sucks about those. Like when you're doing something that's super dangerous like that, whether you're launching something or, you know, blowing something up, you usually have to go out in the middle of nowhere, and it's for whatever reason, it's always dusty and always hot. So yeah, I can imagine you probably don't miss that.
But I did. I really liked I met the most interesting people. People who were like, I love people that have like a passion for like, one thing. I don't care if it's like college football or rocketry. Yeah. When somebody's super passionate about something, it's so fun to talk to them.
I mean, if you think about it, like that was the stuff I was doing when I was a kid. You had the little model rockets with the SD engines and, you know, you go down to the school and launch it kind of in an open field, but these guys never let go of that hobby. Like they held on and now they're making crazy rockets. You're going to get like, some interesting characters there, I would imagine.
Model rocketry has inspired people to go work at NASA, you know, like it's a really cool kind of entry into like a STEM career.
You think Elon Musk ever played with model rockets when he was a kid?
I don't know. I bet.
Or Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, probably. Because
they're very interested in these rockets now. I'm just curious if they were fans of model rockets growing up.
All right, let's get another question.
All right, another question. I think this
one. Do you want me to read one?
You have one, yes.
Let's see. I have one. Hold on. Let me pull it up. This one is from Timothy. Carrie, how soon after joining the team did making a mold scene for the airplane seat suction toilet happen? Did that make you rethink joining the team? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's get into this.
The infamous butt scan.
Okay, so this was like my first week knowing Jamie. My very first week, I had become an intern at the shop, and they were doing this myth. I think it's season one. Like, it was like one of the first couple episodes that we did. The first day they were filming Mythbusters was my first day as an intern in the shop. And within the first week, they were doing this myth about a very large woman who sits down in an airplane toilet. She flushes the toilet. She gets suctioned down onto the seat, and they had to land the plane in order to get her off. And the myth was so prevalent that they were like teaching it in flight schools. But it was totally untrue. But they needed a giant butt. And back then, there was just like no girls around. Like, I was the only girl in the shop. And Jamie calls me into his office.
Get over here. Let me scan your butt.
Jamie's like, I know this is a little bit awkward.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to see if you would be interested. We need to test this 3D modeling tech. What did he say? What did he call it? It was a 3D scanner. Now, this is when 3D was really, really new. And so for this scanner, there was a large turntable that you'd have to stand on.
I just remember that scene. And it's just like, you're just like sitting there going, what in the heck did I get myself involved in?
Yeah, they first tested the scanner and I was in a bathing suit spinning on this table and I had to hold completely still with tennis balls touching me all over so that like I wouldn't move.
Right.
And then the cameras would be up front and then the turntable would slowly rotate and the shop was really cold and I was in a bathing suit. So then now that we've got it kind of figured out, we were going to get a butt scan. So we got me a cat suit, a skin colored cat suit. And then I had to bend over for like 45 minutes because this wasn't a quick technology. So I'm just like bending over with my elbows on a stool while they continually took pictures of my butt for like 45 minutes. And Jamie was like, you know, I wasn't making any money back then. I was like an unpaid intern.
Oh, so that's like, even worse.
He's like, here's the trade. We'll scan your butt, but then you get to learn the modeling.
Modeling software. Thanks, Jamie. What a trade-off.
Oh, wait. There's more. And we'll give you $100.
Wow.
That was more than I made in a week.
$100 was a lot of money.
And I'm just like, yeah, like, whatever. Like, nobody's going to see. This is like some weird cable show. Nobody's going to see this. Whatever. So they did the scan, which was super awkward since there was like interns from his shop also just sitting around giggling, taking their own pictures.
God, how embarrassing. Like, what was going through your head? You're just like, oh, I want to be a model maker. I want to be in special effects. Here.
Let me
objectify you. Get in this skin suit so I can scan you.
I was just really excited about being able to like learn the software because it was this really cool sort of thing where you had a pin and it like acted like you were pushing on clay. And I got to, you know, that was the trade-off is I got to learn a cool piece of tech.
You
got
to tell people about the reference photos that you had to use to sculpt the butt.
So this is the thing is like, this is my butt at 27. It was a very small butt. I mean, it's still a small butt, but like it was like ideally small. I was in my 20s. And so we have the scan of my butt, which Jamie probably still has on a hard drive somewhere because like, you know, he paid $100 for it. So we this would go onto my screen and then I could enlarge it and shape it and mold it. And I wanted to make it accurate. I wanted it to look like a girthier woman because my derriere just did not have all the attributes. So I had to pull up reference material, which was large lady porn, so that I could see.
Of course. Where else are you going to get that kind of a reference?
More big butts. And everybody walking past that back office was like, what are you looking at? I needed to get every crease, every dimple. I needed to make it just like perfect so that it was like realistic. So when we lowered that giant butt down onto the toilet, it would really, really stick. They took the mold. They made it into dragon skin and it hung in the shop for a really long time. And all you goofballs used to like slap it all the time.
God, that's right. We hung it on the wall and it was like after the sculpture was scanned and printed, then we made a mold of that and then made it out of dragon skin. So it was like this very fleshy, you know, it was very soft and fleshy so that it would stick to the toilet seat when the suction was introduced. But once we were done with it, we just hung it up on the shop wall and we would shoot arrows into it. We had like a bow and arrow. We would just fire bow and arrows into the butt. We would slap it. Oh my God.
It made a really good slapping sound. Like it actually sounded like a butt. It really did sound like a butt. So the question being, how soon after I joined? Immediately. And did it make me rethink about joining the team? At that point, I wasn't even on the team. I was still just in the background, taking out the trash, cleaning stuff up as an unpaid intern. But, you know, thinking to myself, nobody
look at
will
you
ever
now,
see this.
Carrie.
No
look
one's ever
going to
see this. It's not going to be the first thing that pops up when you Google my name. Parents, yeah. So proud of me.
So proud. Always.
All right, Tori, I got another question here from RSALB84. Longtime listener, first time caller. Always wanted to say that. Any chance the two of you will tour?
That's a good idea.
I mean, we did a live tour a long time ago with White Rabbit, you, me, and Grant on the road. And that was actually, that was fun. That was like a little road trip. I'd do it. Would you do it?
Oh my God, totally. That would be so, it'd be like doing the comic conventions again. Yeah. You know what? If you guys can tell us where you're from, and then we'll see if enough of you guys are from certain areas. Well, that would be fun. We'll do a little Mythbits tour.
Yeah, where would you like us to tour to? Would it be a convention? Would it be your hometown? Like, where would you want us to go to? Tag us. Tell us.
Would it be your dungeon? Your homemade dungeon in your garage, in your basement?
Do you have one of those? No. Yeah, so thank you, everybody, for listening. And yeah, give us more questions. Tell us, like, where would you want us to tour? That's kind of a fun idea.
This was a good one. I think we need to do this more often. Like, this is exactly why we started this whole podcast. Is that we can reconnect with the fans, interact with them. So thank you for all the questions. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, give us a good review, join the Mythbits community.
That's it. Mythbits out.
Pioneer. At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body.
helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.